Orthodox Church, we have what is commonly known as apostolic succession. The apostles appointed, laid hands on, the Lord laid hands on them, they laid hands on other people, bishops, and then down through the ages. So God has placed overseers, bishops, shepherds, to care for his people. And today we celebrate the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. There have been many councils before this that were regional, going back to the Acts 15, when the apostles and leaders of the church met in Jerusalem, gathered together to care for the flock that God is calling out of the world, how to live in this dangerous world. So the Holy Fathers in 325 gathered together to protect the flock against the heresies, but also that are well known from Arius now, but also many of just the confusions and complications of life in the world expressed in the different canons that were formulated and passed in that council. It really comes down to two simple things that the responsibilities that the bishops over the centuries have in caring for the flock. It's to feed the flock and to protect the flock. It's really that simple. To nourish, to provide food, to take the sheep out where there's really good pasture, and to keep them safe. Feed and protect. Provide and protect. And protection comes in different ways because sheep are very prone to wander away. They need to be, in that sense, protected from themselves because they're not very good at charting their own path. They get caught in the prior path. Of course, then the good shepherd has to come and look for them. God bring them back, but part of the protection is keeping people gathered together in community, not wandering away. But then, of course, also protecting the sheep from thieves, from robbers, from, as we heard in today's reading from Acts, wolves in sheep's clothing, people who are actively trying to attack the church. So, nourishment or food, feeding and protection, these have different aspects to them. There was expressed in the church, in the gospel epistle reading today also, that St. Paul said that he had spent he's speaking to the elders in Ephesus. They were elders from Ephesus, but they weren't in Ephesus at this time. And he taught them for 3 years, feeding them, teaching them the mysteries of God. And now he's warning them of their role, not only to pass that teaching on, but warning them that the danger is coming, that they need to be there to protect the flock. So that's what the church has done from the very days of its founding, of its origins, up until this time today. There were a few verses that were skipped over in the reading from Acts that I wanted to conclude because they emphasize this same two themes of the role of the hierarchy, the bishops and shepherds of overseeing the church. And they make a few things a little more specific. And St. Paul says, "I serve the Lord with all humility, with many tears, and with trials." Elsewhere, he articulates these trials of shipwrecks and lashings and stonings and loneliness and anxiety in the churches that he goes through, many things. He says, "I kept back nothing, withheld nothing that was helpful, but I proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house." This is the nourishing. This is the hands-on, the face-to-face, the open, public, unashamed expression of what it is that nourishes the soul. And he goes on to tell us what that is. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, what? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward, very simple, it's not a complicated message. It may take us 3 years or more to kind of get it drilled into our heads because we're sheep and we resist it. And there's people trying to steal it from us. But the message itself is very simple, but there's no end to needing to be taught it, proclaimed it. Why? Because this is an eternal message. The message that the world gives us is a temporal message. It sounds very good, but it's dealing with the temporal realities. Repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal reality, present here, now, every bit as much present as the things that we see, experience with our senses, but are fleeting. St. Paul goes on to tell the elders of Ephesus that he's on his way to Jerusalem and he's going to experience great tribulation. There are many different signs of this, but he said the Holy Spirit also testified to him in his own heart that he was going to experience great tribulation. And in response to, and he does, in response to this, he says, but none of these things moved me. I didn't care. I knew what I was getting into. These are just temporal things. He says, nor do I count my life, dear to myself. Even my own life, that's a temporal thing in this world. This isn't what I'm about. This is his teaching to them. Not to be caught up with the temporal things of this world. Not that they are unimportant or unvaluable. God created this world. It's his creation. It's beautiful. But it is not all there is. And when we make it all there is, we make it an idol. We make it a god that replaces the creator. So St. Paul says, these things aren't what control my life. They aren't what govern me. And then he tells us why. Why is he going to enter and face these tribulations? These troubles. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy. Think about that. He could say, look, I've served the Lord long and hard. I've been through shipwrecks. I've been lashed. I've been stoned. I've put up with these wandering sheep till I'm sick of it. I'm ready for retirement. I'm going to go somewhere and just relax. Go to the beaches. He would have lost all of his joy. It would have all been gone. Because it would have been the forsaking of the eternal things for the temporal. The things that endure for the things that pass. In the gospel that we heard from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, the final words of our Lord praying for those that his Father had given them, that he had protected, that he had cared for, that he himself had shepherded. He said, I've done these things, I've told them these things, so that their joy may be fulfilled. True joy, not the passing happiness that we feel in this world. When we resort to giving temporal advice and focusing our mindset on those things that are passing, however important they sound, we forsake the joy that the world can't take from us. We freely give that away, even though the world can't take it from us. And then he says a second reason. First is that he finished his race with joy. He wouldn't give up the eternal for the temporal. And then that the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he was called to do. He said, I can't retire. I can't go on vacation. I can't go to the beaches. I have a calling from God. This is what I do. I testify to the grace of God. I don't testify to this or that latest scientific achievement, this or that military advancement, this or that cure for this or that disease. I don't testify to temporal solutions to temporal problems. I testify to the grace of God. The only thing worth responding to in our lives. I'm not going to give that up. That's what God called me to do. To my last breath. And so we see in the life of St. Paul what it is to be handed down generation to generation of bishops, overseers, shepherds, to provide for, to nourish, to nurture the flock and to protect it. In the times that we live in now, this is very important. All kinds of civil unrest, the pandemic. And I just want to say very bluntly that we need good, helpful medical advice. We don't need it from our bishops. Medical advice changes 7 times a week. We need it. It's good. I'm glad people are working on it. But we need from our bishops to be drawn into a life of repentance. Where is the grace of God in the midst of all of this? Yesterday, the OCA, the Holy Synod, the bishops of the OCA, published a statement about the current civil unrest in America. I'll just say that I find it sad. It's just, it makes me want to cry. It's hardly different than what you would hear on Sunday night news from a local politician. Sure, there's some Bible verses, but the politicians and news media are very good adding those sorts of things to their. Where was the call for repentance? Have we lost the sense that the ails of this world come from our sins, not their sins, not the corrupt police officer, from my sins? Where's the grace of God? Where's the call to sacrifice our lives for the good of our brothers? This is what we need. And we need it from our bishops. We don't need temporal advice. We need eternal advice. We need to have our eyes open to the eternal realities. There's plenty of people giving us very helpful, sometimes confusing, but very helpful advice for how to navigate this turmoil in our world now. Within the church, for the church, so that the church can proclaim with genuineness and authenticity. Let us have the food that gives eternal life and the protection from the deceptions that steal that eternal life from us. Through the prayers of the Holy Fathers and the First Ecumenical Council, may the Lord grant us those leaders in this day.